people have looked at the program, and we have had this program for some time. It hasn't changed. And people, I mean, this meeting is important for appropriation. Otherwise, we can't debate appropriation if we don't know what it is that the departments are addressing. Be that as it may, we will continue with the meeting. At this stage, may I welcome Adichie of the Slim Cost Adichie of the.
I know we do the acronym to in the morning. Okay, but welcome with the team, and thank you very much for coming. DG, ladies and gentlemen, we know DG Elroy Africa has been here with us for some time now. He had indicated to me this morning that he is not well. I just requested to come and for introduction, then he will be tried from there. Thank you very much, DG, for obliging. You know, these meetings are important so that you don't want next time to hear that the team has been asked to go there. Because the members don't understand. It happens more often than not. And today we have also Ms. Moore from National Travel. And thank you very much for coming as well. National Travel is our partner because when sometimes we face in disagreements and sometimes the National Federal Express is there to Governor Apita. Well, I am reminded that DG Africa, you are two departments in one.
We will clarify that in the second place.
Okay. No, you will clarify for me. I mean for us. And thank you very much to you and the team. We think that other members, there could be a confusion. You know, as you know, we're currently busy with the budget vote. Yesterday, some of us with the your budget vote, I was very keen to. Some of us couldn't be there, not because we didn't want to, because there's so much work here. I think that now, DG, I will invite you to address us. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Good morning to the honorable members. Maybe let me start off by clarifying
my team to just to clarify Hoxter and the fact that we have two departments and also that we have one budget. Chairperson, we have quite a few colleagues here on our side. Maybe if you don't mind, if you just introduce them, let me start with my right. Next to our colleague from Treasury, I've got the DDG, Mr. Ricardo Hampstead. He is the DDG responsible for infrastructure and economic development. Been with us a couple of months, so he's fairly new, but he's glad to have him on the team.
So his name is
Mr. Hampstead. Ricardo Hampstead, H-A-N-S-D-Y. Next to him, to my immediate right, is also with us for a couple of months. I think he joined us in January this year. He's our new Chief Financial Officer, CFO, to my right. Mr. Mawetu Mutuda. That's to my right. I've already introduced the DG of Office Governance to my left, Dr. Nwaila, Charles Nwaila. And then next to him is another DDG, he is responsible for what we call governance and intergovernmental relations. The whole issue of intergovernmental fiscal relations also falls under Mr. Mutuda. And then we have next to him the gentleman there, the advisor in the ministry, Mr. Safnipo and Kontwana, who is the ministry advisor. Very closely with them. And then we also have the committee knows Mr. Jazz Spinner, obviously, he changed sides today, but he's not and he's on our side. And then we also have two colleagues from the Department of Petition Affairs behind me. Maybe we need to change you. Chairperson, how we decided to, firstly, we are really pleased to be here and really done a bit to prepare for the discussion. How we are proposing to have a discussion here with your concurrence is as the two departments, we would like our CFO to make the overview presentation, but as the two DGs and DGs and other senior officials, we are really going to put out in the discussion as we go. So we would like our CFO to present the overview with the concurrence matters of expenditure trends and also with regard to the issue of appropriation for the year that we need. So that is our proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Maybe just to clarify something between normally we took a resolution as a committee that we would like to have presentations maybe 3 days at least. If it is more than that, the bonus before the people come to us. However, we are aware now that it is budget time and people don't want to let chicken out before the actual time. So I will
coming to the current position, the combined position, that is how we have the financial statements which you had over to both National Treasury and the AG. It's what I'm presenting here for the last financial year, and as we move forward to the next financial year, the current financial year. But to summarize the presentation here, we should be looking at the expenditure trends of the last financial year, the money that we did spend, how we want to deal with them, and the expenditure outcomes, despite the program, some classification, reasons for under expenditure, how we intend to improve our expenditure trends for the next coming year. Because we are moving forward in this current financial year, that Parliament to analyze how we were calculated. The purpose of this presentation, as requested by the Standing Committee, is actually to present to you the envisage of the past financial year expenditure and how we're going to go ahead in the next financial year. This slide presents the last financial year situation in the department. I think when you're doing the changing, that's an expenditure issue. That should be the appropriation of testing from the house. Last year we were appropriated for the 4,500,000 from the 3 million, and out of that we spent 44,579,000, and we're left with 115 million. And the affected economic classification became below that in employees were left with 26 million, and the percentages are relating to compensation of employees' budget. That is, out of what we allocated, we're left with 26, which makes up 50% of the particular allocation, good and services, and transfer, and subsidies. We're left with 9 million, and mainly that amount is made up of allocations made for our community works program, which for various reasons, the process for the department is not true, we're not realizing the end of the financial year. And the CAPEX is actually the furniture and equipment, which was budgeted for the increase that we intended to employ at the beginning of the financial year. But because the recruitment process took longer than we expected, and that is why not for us to do that. This slide presents to one of the members the rollover that the federal treasury to afford us during this financial year, pertaining to the last financial year. On good and fair, as I said, we are asking for the rollover of 1 million, and this, as I said, is relating that. Transfer deposits to money allocated for our community works program. As this was committed for the various projects, we are asking ourselves for good and fair.
This money was allocated for us?
Community works program. My colleague said we elaborated for creating jobs. And it was committed, but it was not used. It was a service closer than the individual center was coming up, and makes up a total of 45 million, which is 40% of the amounts that are in the This is the situation that program has allocated to us, summarizes it. You can see that we are seeing total allocation, which is comprised of grants, which we have transferred most of them, except 80 million that we didn't transfer to the municipality on the request of the National Treasury, because that municipality owed us and treasury some information and funds that we have not to go and transfer 80 million. But that's the situation that has ended initially. This one is the economic classification. That's where.
Sorry, I don't know if it's fair to you. Is it
the issue with the Guru Lane or with any other presentation that you're going to make, I would really request you to volunteer the information, because it will come at the end. Questions will come.
If I may elaborate on the, I elaborated on the situation, it was sufficient, as I said, but for the airport ruling, it's 18.4 million that we didn't transfer. And this is a result of the request that the association report pending that particular municipality providing information on the fund that were previously allocated to them to transfer. And that information has not yet been provided by that particular municipality, but in which the fund remains as unspent in the department now. And will be surrendered as required to the national position. Can I proceed?
Sure.
As I said, this slide presents a more detailed picture of what has happened in the previous financial year, where we have understand where we have done well. But we are very much concerned of what has happened. 150 million is a lot of money that is not transparent in our opinion. I've tried to provide some reasons why funds are not spent in a very summarized format. As you are aware, Chairperson, the honorable member of the department at the beginning of last year, went in a very vigorous transmission process. And that resulted in some costs being advertised. And as I said, they had the recruitment process took longer than expected. And the majority of the costs at the end of the financial year were still December, I think March. Some of them are still being filled now, but we have a target that by the end of June, all the current funded costs will be filled. And that has resulted to the 6 million of spending of other government spent on salaries. Of course, the trial was a process that was implemented, but were not completed at the end of the financial year. When I say current expenses related to employees, it's because when you budget, you also budget employees in extraordinary between that because the nature of our department is because of not only the support of the municipality. So the fact that five of employees were appointed late in the financial year also resulted in the good of services budget not being spent. I think this one is going to help you.
I suppose they're from Texas project projects.
Yeah.
Not quite in the same thing.
This project, not committed to the MBA. Thanks for that. Okay, the furniture, we have challenges in terms of the employees arriving late in the department. Finish our order late and it was not delivered. So that's why we are very much disappointed. As a department, we have put measures in place to make sure that this financial year as we move forward in the MTF cycle, the challenges that we are facing previously are addressed and are addressed appropriately. In terms of compensation of employees, we are not envisaging any other expenditure in the current financial year. And we have, of course, filled most of the SMS members, both departments. We are left with two advertised posts, which will be filled before the end of June. In terms of the posts below the level 15, we did what we call matching replacement exercise, and all employees are therefore appropriated pay. We are, in terms of vacant posts, that one will be managed in line with the funds that are made available to us, but also as a challenge to financial difference. Special budget that we may not have to fill all the posts that we can see, but we won't just go irresponsibly. We look at what we have and what we need. Process implementation, this is one of the things that we are actually intensifying, that we'll be working on this approach come this year, where project that the department has identified links to outcome now and other project that the department is doing in terms of skills, in terms of systems. All those things are done on a project management approach and are linked to the available budget. It's going to assist us as well during our reviews on a monthly quarterly basis to see whether the projects that have been identified Okay, continue with the
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Also, my declaration, these are things that are in the department. It's not new things, but what we are doing, we look at them and revise the approach and intensify it. So this area is one of our budget control measures. Monitoring is very critical in the department, and that includes the performance of municipalities that we will be visiting them in terms of the allocation that they've given to them, whether they're spending the money on what was budgeted, which is critical. And on top of that, we have also put up a provincial support technical unit for our department, which is the province, all provinces. And these people are doing and assisting in terms of monitoring the process, the expenditure, assisting the province, assisting the municipality. They are in place, and they will be assisting in terms of the So that these are the programs that the department is on top of that, making sure that the 47 billion that we are investing in this financial is spent and spent appropriately in municipality to be able with national treasury form our team to make sure that the crowd that is there are after spent for what they are concerned. Because you are aware that there are cases where funds by some municipalities transferred for technical provisions and municipalities. So once to instance where work once and the government has to make sure that does not happen. Coming to the next financial year, this financial year that you are coming here to discuss with the Parliament to approve, we are requesting from Parliament to provide or allocate to the department, the two departments, a combined amount of 7,900,278 and split according to those programs. As you can see, the Department of National Health has now been there. And that money we have split it in terms of compensation for employees, goods and services, capital assets, which is mainly the furniture, and also transfers and facilities. It's a lot of money. That is one thing, that 9% of that is made up of transfers. And as I said, we are also working with Treasury to make sure that this was the name of those checks and make the life of the government into much better. And these are our implementation plans for the next financial year. It's in a summarized format, but it's more on our EAB documents. And we are saying for the next financial year, we are asking for grants in the 3 million for salaries. By looking at what we have, what type of department, it may not be sufficient, but it can assure the committee that there's no way that amount will be spent. Our challenge is to make sure that it is spent and spent in a way that will be eliminated at the process. We did the reprivatization, we did the look at the critical cost, and we are only concentrating on those costs that the department cannot be without. And that is what we're testing. The other breakdown is goods and services, and in that one we have the commissioned program which has been allocated next financial grant in 2022. And I've spoken to the manager of this program that, as I said, they have been the contributors of an expansion in the previous year. And we have assured each other that this is not going to happen. They have all their projects in place, and that money will be spent and spent appropriately. The 192 relates to the special purpose vehicle. The new thing in the department, this problem of previous management, is with us now, and we're working very hard to make sure that the municipalities get the necessary support in skills that they don't have. And it goes down to what we intend doing, what we have been allocated, and up to where we are going to work on the ICPs with the municipalities, because they are very critical for us. We have had to make sure that the funds that are allocated to municipalities are actually included, that they are people in all the ICPs, and this is what we'll be working towards. Goods and services, I think I spoke about that. Capital assets, this furniture, as I said earlier, this is on both departments, and these are the issues that will be critical looking at them as well moving forward.
affairs and strategies, honorable members are aware that we are managing in terms of transfer together with treasure for those three important grants, NIC and FIG. And we have the primary bank accounts approved by National Treasury. We have payment schedules approved and the treasury manages according to the payment schedules. And of course, we'll be looking at the report that we received from the municipality. But on top of that, we want also to do what we normally call the report of the grants of the FIG. We want the municipality to make sure that we are not going to only rely on the reports that they are giving us. We want to go to the process of the land and make sure that these funds that are given to them are used for this activity. As part of the job creation initiative in the department, since the MVP is one of the flagship projects that is playing a very important critical role in assisting the government in creating those jobs. And my colleagues will wrap up on that. The CD is for infrastructure to take responses, and it's one of our most important. So, Chairperson, thank you very much. And thanks for having me.
Teachers, do you want to talk about anything prepared?
Thank you for the presentation. Just a couple of positions. The Emergency Work Program, if I could just elaborate on what exactly the aim of the Emergency Work Program, how it's operating. And why, what it means to the people since I started with the job creation. You underspent by 70 billion in this financial year, the last financial year, but you asked for a little over 41 million in this financial year. Why is this the one you actually get to the greatest spend? And then on page 3 of this hard copy presentation, I know there's a transcript in there. How do you relate? you and the provincial governments and local governments, because this is often mooted that there's often that decisions are taken in isolation, and they didn't all really make a thorough need assessment of what is to be done. And then secondly, on your slide, Chairman, on slide 13, they say that the Department of Traditional Affairs will finalise or policies regarding the Kutwala and the initiate schools or initiation schools and so forth. I'd like to know if you can give us some progress report on that. I believe it's getting a lot of publicity in the press and so forth, a lot of deaths, and human rights say that, especially women's groups, often voice their disapproval regarding the Kutwala practice. I'd like to have your views on what's been done to regulate this particular practice. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much,
Thank you, Chair. I'm clarifying two colleagues here. But on page 10, on slide 10, that monitoring and evaluation, my view is we still have in this province three municipalities with their budgets and those companies. Now, I know Treasury has a proper program done, but my view is, does this, is that part of that kind of program, the monitoring and evaluation? Or I think that is a tremendous important component of self-administration and self-administration. George, if you look at the opportunity to use that as you have. But I just want to find out how you see that in your projections. And you might not be staying in the field. And the second question is about that CW piece. I think it's going to start with the video. So, thank you.
Slide number 4.
Nothing, and we see such a difference in the process.
the response. I think to speed up the process, if the department would like the shift to happen in the adjustment budget, is that the department can, figures have been done, because it really helps, because what we need to do is take a new structure and build it in as if it's always existed over the last 2 years. But if I can request the CFO to send us the historical figures as if COPTA and traditional assessments have been separate, then that will speed up the approval as well as speed up the process for the in-text submission. Then we can submit the budget bids for the budget for this coming the next budget in those formats. So it will really help if I can request whether that program easily can be sent to us. And changing, if I can hold the mic, maybe I don't understand the background, but the numbers presented on the department submission and the numbers in the appropriation bill are not the same. There's a more or less 200 million rand difference in your transfers versus your goods and services, and maybe we can just get some clarification as to why the numbers are not the same.
Do you want to explain as well
unfortunately, I don't have the specific details, but I understand the process in the Treasury is underway, where local government has received conditional grant money. The Division of Revenue Act requires them to pay, to surrender unspent funds like the provinces do and the national government does. By the end of the year, it was unspent. Or at least then motivate for that money to be rolled over through the national departments. What we have found in various conditional grants, the one I know of is the electricity grant, is that for 3 years that money has not been surrendered to the National Revenue Fund. And what we are doing to correct the situation, because now basically that is working with money outside of the legislation, is to recoup that those unsurrendered funds that has been out of the system for I think more than 2 years. To recoup it out of the equitable share, so the department must now make good the equitable share loss out of the conditional grant money that they've been sitting on for more than 2 years.
Then I request you maybe by the end of the meeting, that's okay with me. Because as far as what you will say is concerned, I remember you were correct me to see Africa, there was a meeting between the two ministers, this one. Where sort this issue out again. But let us be clear as to exactly what was the issue with the 8 million rand. But from the presentation last year, an FPV.
You, in the presentation, there are two
food issues, I think Honorable Sark also raised the issue of the 41 million for this community work. The community work, you understand. How much was the total of that community work? Is it 41 million? And how much of that 41 million has not been used? But to us, let them tell our committed to create these jobs. Because the fund is there, the community where money is not being utilized. Now it means that the people that were supposed to be identified of the opportunity to have those jobs. We do know as a community, I think we'll be meeting public works by when. And as far as local government is concerned, on EPWP, for instance, I think there is a lot of understanding for the EPWP to municipalities. And this grant is growing. I don't know, or we don't know, how much interaction is there between yourself and the Department of Public Works, and whether you agree with the model. What is it from your side that you think that is contributing to the understanding of that? Because in that area, we're supposed to create a lot of jobs, but the under expenditure is huge. I think last year or 10, 11, I think it's about 56% that has been spent. Yeah. Thank you.
Mine is a small question. It's got to do with the last engagement. The last engagement with the department, we have requested some information that includes remember we had a special document for this discussion and photos of what's going to happen in the projected target. I'm not sure whether there's a change of the approach in terms of that vehicle to something else, which is probably written as a turnaround and the capacity building, helping on the strong capacity building and turnaround plan. Where is the replacement of the special vehicle purpose, order that is still on the card, because I don't quite see it here. The second thing that we had a discussion that we were expecting to get some feedback. Maybe we'll help you check if we did get the feedback. We had a concern that there were some under expenditure, whether that was some municipality capacity, that led to some redirection of those resources to other municipalities that had a capacity to implement or spend the money. And there was a whole discussion about the program of the department to take municipal hand to be able to spend. We asked that question was a problematic in terms of the Constitution and the Act that and we have asked the department to finish us with the record of where such action was taken and money was redirected. Because the one issue that were troubling us was the issue about the protests that were taking place in various municipalities. We wanted to satisfy ourselves whether the protest was not necessarily somehow linked with the lack of or under service delivery, which correlated to that was the withdrawal of the redirection of the expenditure because the municipal was not able to spend those funds to other areas. Also, we ask that the department finish us with those areas where the money was withdrawn and those areas where there was a protest as a result of lack of service delivery, so that we have that kind of application of money. I have asked before whether this information was received. So far, I have not get any positive response that indeed it was received. And now we, of course, we continue to see the issue about service delivery issue. And now I just want to be clear in terms of that clearing that backlog of issues in order to move forward. Because I'm not sure what we're speaking about, for example, in the projected targeted of support 34 municipal districts to do this. What is the scale that is utilized? Is the scale with respect to those that are weak, where there was a problem of protest, or what informs such a, I see a number, a figure. And of course, maybe I'll have late share, my apologies for that.
No, it's fine.
It may have been addressed, that particular issue, but I just want to understand the rationale and the plan, because I don't have that information, so my mind is a gap of filling the gap to arrive at this number.
Inform
this particular program target.
Thank you. No, thank you very much, for that. The question that you raised was not the repetition of that. But I asked the question about the relationship between yourselves and public works. Let's understand about between yourselves and the National Treasury. National Treasury is going to roll about 3 billion, is it 3 billion for the municipality? From what they recruited to after the end of the third quarter, I think I'll get it now. For the neighborhood, for the grant that is called neighborhood development grant. And that grant continues to be, to understand, you know. Now, because it's a lot of money. It's not clear to us why is that the continues to be because sometimes from our point of view, it looks like when we hear and when it's explained, it looks like a very complicated kind of to understand. But what is it perhaps that the department is doing to ensure that the municipalities do access those kinds of funds? Thank you.
Thanks, Shane. I think we can immediately hand over to the two colleagues. We can start maybe with see that PD-related issues of insanity and then we can can even go to chance after that, some issues there, and then we can deal with a few other issues on the ground. And Shane, if you don't mind, then let us from our side, we will try and cover between us the questions. And let's start with CWP. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks for the opportunity to put the CWP into context. The community work program is a component of the expanded public works program. So there is a very close relationship because the wage determination is the same as for the expanded public work program. In other words, the amount of money that people get paid on a daily basis is part of the same ministerial determination by the Minister of Labour. So there is already that link. But I think institutionally as well, there is also a link. The CWP has a steering committee in which the Department of Public Works is also a key participant, together with the Presidency and other departments. The program was initiated by the Presidency and handed over to our department last year. Now, I think there is somewhat of a misconception around the spending on CWP. There was a saving on the program management fees of CWP, but we've actually exceeded the targets for jobs created for the program. It was supposed to be 87,000 work opportunities created for people during the year to participate in, But we've exceeded that by 93,600, and I think 69 work opportunities created for the year. So there was a saving on the program management fee, because the structure of the program is essentially that there is a 10% program management fee that the department gets in order to appoint people, in order to make provision for other costs associated with program and project management. Now, in the process, because the program was only handed over to the department last year, we have been in the process to recruit.
You say 10%?
10%. So there's a 10% program management fee that the department uses to cover its own cost in administering the program. And that was predetermined in terms of the norms and standards for CWP set by the presidency. So we've actually had savings on that by virtue of not being able to appoint many of the program management staff, because CWP actually requires a structure which is provincially based as well. The department is now in the process of finalizing that particular structure. And part of that saving, we actually, and this is why we're requesting, a portion of the rollover will actually go to programs related to CWP. For example, the establishment of a panel factory to supply CWP workers with protective clothing. Now, in the process, we'll create more jobs. And I think that is the reason why we're requesting that rollover. So we've actually exceeded the targets. In fact, we have spent off the site budget for CWP, we have spent 99.9% of the money for that on actual work opportunities. So the money was not, I don't think there was we've lost in terms of creating jobs. It is only a question of if we succeed with a rollover, we can create a few more jobs in the process. That's with regards to CWP chapters. Thank you.
But you noted how much was the budget, how much you spent, unless I missed the thing.
I can give you the money that was allocated. The total allocation for CWP was 490 million. 10% of that, 49 million, was used for the program management costs. 90% of that 49 million is the site budget. 65% of the site budget, 286 million, 840, that goes to CWP wages. We were actually paying people. It used to be 50 rand a day, it is now 60 rand a day for the work that they perform. The non-wage component, and that's material, because when people work, when they clean towns, etc., they need brooms, they need paint, and so on. So that is the non-wage component. That is 35%. That's 154 million. Now, of those three amounts, the 441 million, 286 million, and 154, we spent 99.9% of that funding. That's the on-site budget for CWP.
So the 31 million comes from 10%.
Yes, that's correct.
But 1 million pounds was 49 million. Let's say 49 million. About 10 to
49 years.
Okay.
Oh, Chairperson, in addition, we also have implementing agents that was appointed by the presidency when they piloted the program. And these implementing agents get an allocation of 10% of the site budget. And that's 44 million. And there are three of them. There is a program management organization right in the center of this. And then you have two implementing agents. And they essentially run the systems for CWP, because you can imagine you require a big back office to administer work opportunities for over 60,000 people. Because you also need a very sophisticated payment system to ensure that people get paid, because many of these people are indigent. And we bring them into the system. Many of them don't have bank accounts, so you need a substantial back office, which is very costly, to ensure that people get paid. You also need on-site administration, you need management, all of those things. Now, that's why we, you know, we have, of the site allocation, 10% of that goes to the implementing agents, to the three implementing agents. Commit 10% of the site allocation, not the total figure for CWP.
The site allocation is 260.
The site allocation is 441 million. So the total amount allocated to the implementing agents, three of them nationally, is 44 million.
Okay, thank you.
No,
thank you. I just want to add a very small point on this last issue about the implementing agents. You know, in the department we are having a discussion as to how we should deal with this in the future. As my colleague has said, you know, this arrangement was put in place by our colleagues in the presidency when they piloted the program and we inherited that arrangement. So part of what we are deliberating on going forward is whether this is a kind of a situation we want to retain, or whether going forward we need to build our in-house capability and ability to be able to manage. So I'm just letting the committee know that we are, that there's a possibility that may change the program management arrangement going forward. We haven't finalized that.
Okay.
No, thanks.
Okay.
Okay.
Professor?
Thanks, Chair. The issues of food file and the initiation, and also provide clarity, I think. We were also trying to address, among other things, the situation in Eastern Cape. We would call our 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds were just taken by thugs and attributing it to Ubutwala. So we are saying Ubutwala originally the source of merit. And, you know, it is done differently from the way it is currently being done. That's why there was negative publicity and so on. So there are also issues, you know, which are against the Constitution. The policy, you know, also states that, you know, the person has got to be 18 years and above, not below that. However, there are also issues.
The one who can be
12.
So if I fell another
staff
daughter,
I'm like, oh. Just to explain. Perhaps just to explain that what used to happen is, you know, the two people would be lovers.
Mm.
And that's how, you know, it used to work. And in order to fast-track, that's why it's a source of marriage. Then, you know, when they are ready, that they should get married and so on. So just organize some chefs, and when she goes to fresh water, then, you know, those guys are hiding there. That's all I have. So what is currently happening is just for some time. And we refer to that as harmful practice. That's why those people must be arrested. You do that. And then in terms of initiation, we also have seen certain the people who fly by night, sergeants, who do, you know, who claim to be practicing this and they're not doing it properly. So the policy is going to make sure that, you know, we clarify how this thing should be done. We're working together with the Commission on the Protection of the Rights of the cultural, religious, and linguistic community. So that you know, we make sure that the right thing is done. And as for the other issue of the budget vote, you know, from Treasury side, we will provide the necessary information in preparation for the next financial year. So that by the time we go to the next financial year, you know, everything is ready.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, sir.
I will try to respond to three questions at different points. That would be the issue around work committee and the process of transferring me, and the issue that Honorable Chair has raised with regard to the peak component of me as pertaining to the recommendation that was made that the 15% should focus on sports facilities. With regard to work committees, we have said that after the election, as of now, there is no single work committee that is existing. So the first process is to look at the establishment of those work committees across all the municipalities that we have. And after the establishment of this work committee, the framework is still stating that the chairperson of this work committee should be the work counselor. But we are also looking at capacitating work committees to understand their role with regard to issues of broader public participation within that ward area, and also issues around planning and the prioritization of service delivery matters in those areas. So we have some funding that we are going to be utilizing from the EU, which funding is going to be assisting us to really run that capacitation program for work committee. Now, with regard to the process of how MIG is transferred, we are transferring MIG as well as the equitable share in three tranches. The first tranche is around June, and the second one is around November. And the last tranche that we transfer is around March. Now, what happens with regard to the mid-transfer is that the provinces, through the provincial management unit, register projects of municipalities. And after those projects have been registered, you then send those projects to sector departments to look at their own norms and standards, whether the project is really in line with those norms and standards. And then you go further to deal with issues of environmental impact assessment by the Department of Environment. And when that project is registered, then we transfer the money accordingly. Now, the challenge has been that quite a number of times some of these municipalities are implementing projects that are not necessarily having environmental impact assessment. And we have then said that in advance, because you have these indicative figures for the medium-term expenditure framework, municipalities should submit their projects according to the indicative figures so that come the year for implementation, you have projects that have been registered. One other challenge was the issue where you find that a municipality will submit a project that is worth 20 million, but in terms of the norms and standards of a sector department, they realize that that project can only be 10 million. So it therefore means that when the municipality is implementing that project, there should be a top up of 10 million that they should provide as a municipality. Now, with regard to the question that you've raised, Honorable Chair, around the sports facility. Chair, I think there was a recommendation, I'm not sure whether it was from this committee, where our department, sports and recreation, as well as education, were given 3 months after the adoption of the report by the House to clarify the responsibility of budgeting for the development of sports facilities. Now, with regards to that, we were saying the P component in me looks at public municipal services infrastructure, and that infrastructure on the P component include quite a number of things. It could be community halls, it could be sports facilities, and any other community infrastructure. Now, the way in which the MIG formula is arranged is that 15% goes to this infrastructure. The challenge, therefore, becomes into a municipality that went through the normal public participation process to put those priorities in the IDP. Now, if you go to a municipality like Enugu, for instance, you find that during the public participation process for the IDP, the highest priority there is water, sanitation, electricity, and roads. Now,
I don't know if current members are still listening, but I think that what you're saying to us, from what I hear, what you're saying to us, that from your perspective, this 15% is not necessarily for sports and facilities. I think that's the bottom line. And the impression that we got from, I'm not sure whether it was National Treasury or what, it was that 15% is for sporting facilities. Very straightforward thing. Not a general thing that would depend on what the community needs are there. That's how our understanding of it is. But if it is an open thing, that municipal A can decide on something else, and B and C, if they want sporting facilities, then I think that's news to us today.
Yeah.
I think that is news to us. And I wish that Honorable Compella was here and also listen, because it is a matter that we want to hear. There are no sporting facilities in the rural areas, in the townships, and our understanding is that this money must do these sporting facilities. But it is something that is discretionary. Then it is no longer meant for people can't tell us that 15% is for sporting purposes. So it's discretionary. They like it, they can change it for something else. And our understanding, this is a grant. It's not a part of equitable share. Equitable share, that's when the municipality sits down and say, this is our part. How do we spend it? But a grant is specific, it's a ring fence. That is the understanding of the
comments. I agree with the official. This is a MIG was initially scheduled for grant because municipal infrastructure is a municipal function. So there is discretion at municipal level as to how they spend it. What we have done is bring in, and my colleagues can help me bring in guidelines in terms of the formula as to the areas of expenditure that we'd like covered, water and sanitation and the roads, and then the fee portion is discretionary in terms of other infrastructure, whether that is taxi ranks or sports facilities or community halls. So the grants conditionality relates to the infrastructure side of it, and the areas of infrastructure expenditure specific to roads, water, sanitation, and then a portion, as indicated, is discretionary for the municipalities for them to decide whether this fund, how they will spend this fund. We have noted the committee's concern on this matter, and there are some discussions as to whether there should be a specific grant through the Department of Sports and Recreation that only earmarks this money for sport. I do hear my colleagues' concern that some communities would like to speak with our water and sanitation and roads and where we sit, we understand that concept.
I'm not going to talk about the 2011 going first track, because there's a lot of money that we wonder how the municipalities are going to utilize it or provinces, but there's a lot of money out there. But our understanding, even with me, is that a certain amount of water, certain amount is of oil, and all those were called program are classified there. But we hear what you're saying, and I think that we don't agree. We really don't agree with that, because we, I mean, if you make it so open, clearly, some municipalities, they don't prioritize for the facility. They see that as a waste. But so clearly, we have an issue around this. You want to continue?
A sentence of Honorable Chair. I think on this issue, we have been meeting with the National Treasury to look at the recommendation that we have been making. And the understanding that we have now is that the issue of 15% to be reserved for sporting facilities, the minister was saying it should be in the framework for me. What we were looking at the moment was, since all the other departments were having nonsense standards, we currently do not necessarily have the nonsense standards to look at what kind of sporting facilities will be suited for what particular area. So there might be an issue that the issue of 15% might still be referenced for sporting activities, the way I understood the way in which the Treasury has been talking about it. But like we said, at the moment, in terms of the MIG formula, the P component looked at a certain number of other infrastructure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
But what you say
from your mouth is different from my presentation. And I've got another class
to say,
and I agree with you.
I don't know, but what I was saying, if you look at the absolute figures of the budget allocated are on ground transfers, and on ground transfers spend 99.8%, and that's the bulk is 99% of the allocation budget. That's what if you spend
Mr. Machuda, one plus one is two, yeah? Okay, that's it for us. Let alone, we don't want explanation. Everybody calculator with you.
You are a politician, maybe.
Everybody calculator with you. They have 92.5%, 82.1%, plus 99.8%, plus 97.5%. And all those things, and you tell us, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 500% there, and tell us if there's going to be
99.7%.
You are the CFO, we just ordinary people.
Yes.
And you're saying that thing out of 500% will give you 99%.
What I'm saying, Chairperson?
No, I don't even want what you're saying. We want that to be an extra.
But you don't have to
because each one of them, if you say 83% on traditional affairs, it means that from 100% allocation, you spend 83.4%. And each one of them, you're taking them from 100%. Now you say the total is 99.7%. More. Can you help us?
I think what is going on is because the COPLA budget has got such large amounts in certain programs and such small amounts in other programs, even if you only spend 82% in a policy program, it will have a very small impact. So we need the weighted average of the percentages to come to the total. In my back of the hand, the actual underspending, the 115 under the adjusted estimate budget, seems right. I get the same number. It's just because some of these plans are so very big and some of them are very small. So you can't just add them up. You've got to take a weighted average of the of every program's
No, I'm happy as long as we're happy. I think all what you wanted is the simple arithmetic, just to be clear for us. And I think the number crunchers, you see, they understand this field, so they complicated it for us. But I think it was clear what we're raising, that if on the last table you add, though it does not give you what exactly they've put in there, but you needed an explanation. All what I wanted to raise is that probably in the future when we present, we must just put figures without an explanation. It must be easier for a non-financial manager just to understand it. And I think we have learned a lesson today.
Whatever you're saying,
you
obviously, I think the matter has been clarified now, but I just wanted to say another way of just saying exactly the same thing. If you look at Program 3, the governance and international relations, that is the budget allocation that is skewed completely. So that is the weighted component that we're talking about. That's what I'm saying.
That's where the 80 million for which are the debt from the government.
But those money, not that the money has been spent, only that they have been transferred. Whether that side has been spent or not, correct. And that is our worry. And that is our worry. And that is the question that Honorable Minister is asking, where the question is coming from. Because you transfer my father not able to you, and later on, you tell us that later on, they apply for all over.
issue of to hear that you're saying moving forward, you are establishing it. One is having an evaluation of the third session. But today, we don't know what is the status of that today.
I don't have too much. Let Costa respond to the example.
Yeah, if I may just respond to National Treasury's and when this program was initiated by the committee, it was going to be an energy issue. That's why I that has what happened up to now, the negotiation. But what is going ahead, we need to pay so it has taken over from the committee. And for us to pay, the intention was to have this up and running and fully
within our department operationally as a program on the 1st of April. That has unfortunately not been the case, but I can assure the members that, literally probably by the month of next month, by the month that we're in now, by June, we would have finalized the process of handover. Members hopefully will appreciate that we've needed to negotiate quite a careful transition process from DBSA to ourselves. Because one of the commitments we made to DBSA is that we can try and have as little disruption as possible with regard to the current contracts, the current business entities that we are supporting, and the current service providers. So as we are sitting here right now, I mean, I can confirm the figures, but I think there are probably a total of about 263 professionals that we have taken over, or we are in the process of taking over from the DBSA. I think one component of that 263, I don't have that just with me. There are two components to that number. The one consists of real professionals, engineers, project managers. That's one component. The second component is what we call young professionals or graduates. So these are the two components that we have negotiated to be transferred to us and as I said, we've been quite careful to ensure as little disruption as possible. As part of this transition process and operationalizing the SPV, I'm just making two last points, is that we have also taken on a contract that the DBSA had with the South African, again I forget the proper name, but it's basically the South African Council for Engineers or Engineering Association in Gauteng, where they have released their own members to work in the public. So that particular contract we've also taken over, and there's quite a sizable amount of money that we need to manage for the current year. And in the last point I wanted to make around the SDB chairperson, we are also finalizing the institutional form of the SDB, because as my CFO was saying, we had a number of options with regard to the institutional form. And without getting into technical language, the one option was simply to make it some program in the department, maybe get budget, etc., etc. The other option, which we are now partial to, that we are considering and we're going to take this to cabinet, is to establish the SPV as a quote-unquote as a government component. And there are certain advantages to that, and maybe my colleagues from Treasury, because the relevant officials are here, can maybe talk about what the advantages are of having but the one advantage I know is that that government component will report directly to the minister, and they somehow get freed up a little bit from some of the normal bureaucratic prescripts that we take in the department in general. So in summary, chairperson, SPV is very much on track, absolutely on track. What I did not say is that the primary purpose of this SPV is to assist municipalities in spending money for infrastructure building. That is the primary purpose. So when we talk about mix, when we talk about under expenditure, when we talk about municipalities that don't have capacity, the SPV is going to be one of our biggest instruments and programs that will help us to take physical, warm bodies, engineers, project managers to those areas to assist. So chairperson, that is the background around the SPV. Thanks.
Okay, but the question that has not been I thought the teacher would remember.
Yeah. No, so thank you, Chair. There are quite a few other things that have not been answered, so I was going to try and pick up some of them.
I don't know how you're spreading that.
I am spreading it to myself, unfortunately. No, Chair, I think there were a few other things that were raised that I think we have not commented on, and I'll try and spot at the top. There was a question asked, I didn't feel unbooked, there was a question about how we intend to strengthen the work committee. That was one question that I didn't give my colleagues comment on, and maybe Mr. Tagidi can come in. Oh, you did cover that. Okay, yeah, maybe that's an old company.
I don't believe it, but...
Okay. But chairperson, let me not comment on that. If the follow-up question is, then I can assist on that. But all I can say, I can confirm that we are really committed to what we are. The kind of language that we use is to say we want to refine the current model of our work committee, and we have a number of interesting ideas in terms of how we can strengthen and deepen. And the other point, which I also want to comment on, we are also going to continue to pursue
the treasury around funding for the committee. Because we have been saying consistently that democracy is going to and we see this about all committees, then we need to assist on this service. So maybe let me just limit myself to those comments. There was a second comment, question.
You are aware that CWs are going.
Sorry, Chair?
You are aware that CWs are going.
That's why we come to Parliament to get this information. I didn't know, Chair. Now I'm hiding me on something that I didn't know. Thank you for that. Chairperson, there was a question, an important question around the issue of the relationship between provinces and municipalities and how we, as a ministry and the two departments, how we interact with provinces and the local government. Now, let me simplify again my response and then to get into detail. At one level, Chairperson, how we interact with the other two spheres of government is that we've got a number of structures that assist us in a formal way to interact with these other two spheres. So the two obvious structures, the first one is what we call the President's Coordinating Council. This is a structure of the President. It is chaired by the President, all the premiers sit there, and it is our department, COFTA, that serves as a secretariat. So we serve as that particular structure. A very important chapter because it allows the President to deal with any matter pertaining to provincial government or local government or even national government that affects all three spheres. So if I just give an example, the very last meeting of this chapter, the PCC, dealt with a very important issue of job creation. And the President got every single premier to explain what they are doing and what they intend to do in terms of meeting this particular objective earlier. So I'm saying that is one important structure. Another important structure that we manage directly, of course, is our MINDEC. Our minister meets directly with all the MECs responsible for local government and local government. And of course, there we discuss everything and anything pertaining to our portfolio. I should also say a third important structure, and I know that you know, when we talk about structures, doesn't necessarily mean talking about the real work, but the structures allow us to monitor, and at least we get people to present the implementation plan. So the third structure that is very important is something called an implementation forum. And this implementation forum is linked to those 12 outcomes that we spoke about. Every single outcome of these 12, every single minister in government is required to have a special implementation forum which comprises of the relevant MECs. And if there are mayors that must attend, we have Salva to attend, but also other national departments. So in our instance, let me just be specific, we have got a specific implementation forum for outcome 9, that is the local government. So we've got all the MECs, so in that sense, it is similar to MINDEC. But where it is different to MINDEC is that we also have national ministers that come here. So the Minister of Water Affairs, the Minister of Human Settlements, the Minister responsible for energy. So that implementation forum becomes very important, and of course, sound is very important. So that implementation forum becomes the monitoring structure to look at how well we are doing in respect of implementing outcome 9. So, Chairperson, for my first comment about interaction with other spheres, is to say we have these important structures, and they are important. In terms of the Intergovernmental Relations Act, these structures are very important. But the second point to make is to say that in each of these different programs that my colleagues are talking about, CWP, we talked about Operation Clean Audit, which we didn't really talk about today, MIG, Integrated Development Planning, all of these different programs in the department chair, we've got specific also structures where we have provinces sitting and coming to regular meetings where we get program specific feedback. On how well these different programs are doing. And then the last point to make now, which is different to structures, is that in quite a few of these programs, CWP is one example, MIG is another example, we very often go directly to provinces and directly to municipalities that we think need assistance. So, Chairperson, I'm saying a lot of things, but I'm just trying to give the committee a sense of how we interact. The final point to make on this is that we are currently working on a policy document, a green paper on cooperative governance that will hopefully draw draw on the lessons since 1994, how these different species have been working together. And again, there are a number of innovative ideas and suggestions that we have in terms of how we can take intergovernmental relations to another level in terms of how we need to work on. So, Chairperson, I've tried to comment on, you know, how we interact and so on. There were one or two other questions I thought I should quickly respond to Chairperson. Clearly, from then on, you must stop me. On the issue of monitoring and evaluation, I thought maybe I must just say one or two things quickly. First comment, when it comes to financial management in local government, national clergy, in terms of the NFMA, they have got very specific instruments, reporting time frames, and requirements that they expect from municipalities to report on when it comes to all matters pertaining to financial management. So if I have to be very frank about it, our department does not explicitly, regularly monitor the financial management. That's a hard figure when it comes to 278. We now have 278 municipalities. We had 283 on the 17th of May. Now today we've got 217. So that's point number one. But at the same time, Chairperson, we are working very closely with the national agency when it comes to the financial management system, and also share information. The second and last comment around M&E, because I've just commented about financial management. The second comment around M&E is that our department definitely is responsible for monitoring almost everything else besides financial management. Because the MFMA, you know, gives the mandate to clergy. I can also say, I'm not sure if I'm saying this in confidence because the Parliament, everything is public, but we are also having ongoing discussions.
No, that's
fine.
It's okay to
confidence. No, it's fine. All I wanted to say, Chairperson, that we are continuing to have discussions with clergy around this issue of financial management. Because we are of the view that, you know, if we are responsible for local governments, we need to be responsible for everything. So it's a big policy issue, but we're having ongoing discussions, and I'm not necessarily asking the committee to engage on that. But the second important point I'm making around MSB is that we are really responsible for monitoring all the other matters. So we do have a MSB section chairperson in our department, and as part of this local government turnaround strategy, we have got a very specific set of indicators that we expect our provinces and all our municipalities to report on. So I'm just saying that we have that particular program that on MME that allows us to track a range of other things around the program. So Chairperson, that's all I want to say around MME.
And you're saying that MME that we have is functional. Because I'm asking this to the honourable, I'm sure it was a comment on maybe with respect to number of protests, demonstration process that we see, whether they are correct or not. That's not saying demonstrations are there. We don't know if the department is able to understand what is happening, why in Balfour.
That in fact was the last comment I was going to respond to the issue on the process. But maybe before I come here, I see my colleague's hand is up. If you don't mind, maybe want to assist me.
Not for the process issue, Chair. What I actually wanted to respond to, for the sake of being comprehensive, to respond to all the questions. There was one relating to that you raised relating to the Labour Development Fund, which is with Treasury. Now, I think in an ideal world, that grant should sit with our department. Because, you know, around the Labour Development Grant, in an ideal world, we should sit with our department. Because there is a fund that would take at least. You know, you must decide, are you in local government or are you in finance? We are in local government. And that relates specifically, you know, to a number of aspects that we touch on, and it leads to fragmentation in the system of assisting local government. So I think in the long run, it's a discussion that we should seriously have with Treasury. And there are a number of other instruments that are also being developed within that space that deals with local government that doesn't sit with us. So I just wanted to alert the committee to those things. You know, otherwise people are oblivious. They think, oh, we have all the cards to play. We simply don't. Thanks.
Okay.
Not trying to touch
on that. I don't think so. Let me share that another thing. He's learning very, very fast because that is a view that we're all privately. We're just expecting a subject to come out. I agree with you. But at the same time, you know, we understand that we need to. There's also the issue of the mixed ethnic grant. You know, that grant now, in fact, let me say it slowly. Up until the last financial year, we were responsible for this thing called MIG. As of this year now, MIG has been split into two components. The MIG Cities component, and that supports all the metros, and that grant now, the MIG Cities component, has been transferred to Department of Human Settlement. So they are now fully responsible. They get money directly from Treasury, I think, and they're responsible for that. And we are now responsible for the remainder.
Why do they understand?
I don't know if my colleague wants to come in there, but
that's a short story.
My understanding is simply that it's not possibly that it is linked to the fact that human settlement, the mandate is to create, you know, human settlements that are sustainable and integrated, and the argument, if they need to do that, they also need to have the financial instruments to assist them to kind of do that. So they felt that they cannot really deliver on the mandate if one of the biggest resources is managed by a different department. So that human settlement is the biggest challenge, they would argue, now sitting in a large town. Chairperson, that's my best understanding of that issue.
Well, before you come in, you want to add something else?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to talk to the issue of our presence in the provinces. Okay.
But isn't it also, Chair, the reason for the split? Isn't it also because all metros are now accredited to do their own human settlement project? Which is not for the left, but another smaller state across the national.
Maybe it will help. The funding that's been discussed is now under the Human Settlement Support and the Urban Settlements Development Grant. And the motivation here is the responsibility towards informal settlement upgrading reminds the human settlement responsibility. That responsibility, as we know, normally these informal settlements grow around the metropolitan areas. The work that's needed to be done there is, in effect, to upgrade the infrastructure, because what we want to provide is for the roads, the lights, the water and electricity, so that those households have got access to basic human rights, even though we can't really build the houses there yet. So it's like that is the informal settlement upgrading program, which is an outcome driven number. So the idea was that the Department of Human Settlements, with that functionality, will use that money. Now, you'll know that the MIG money is also for street lights, roads, electricity. So it is what the money is buying, you might understand. It's just that you put the responsibility on the human settlement so that they can target that money towards informal settlement upgrades.
Thanks, Chair. A few more things. It will be just to be useful to understand the futuristic financial implication, if there's a word like that, with regard to the takeover. There's a word that takeover on the DBSA 263 professional. Is there anything called financial value that's also going to be transferred? I know you say 193 is got to set up
but the thing goes beyond the setup. Just to understand that the model, if you may not, you don't have it today, it may well be maybe in the future, so that you understand itself in terms of moving forward. I was interested to make a follow-up question around the agencies that you mentioned that they are implementing. What type of animal is that agency? So maybe because of time, it may also be something that is explained in a kind of memo so that you understand what it is. Is it the agency that, for example, transfers power into locality? Because I think when we went to KZN, we've seen a different model of the community development, community public works program in terms of transparency of skills, in terms of agencies within. So I just want to know maybe in terms of what type of agency we're talking about, what it is. This one is a follow-up. I mean, it's a question that I didn't get, and maybe when I went out, it was answered. This issue about the withdrawal of the money, directing it, for the Singapore was into that issue. And the municipality where there was fire, you know, the last old issue. Remember we
money
that
were withheld
and redirected to other municipalities. Maybe it was too early to.
Yeah,
I thought you were finished. I was wondering why this question is here.
I'm not
let me hear.
Okay, Mr. Mkotan, you wanted to add something.
Nothing, sir. You raised the issue of protest, and I think that's an issue that we are trying to address by having people in the provinces. So the difficulty that we have is that by having people in the provinces. I think the CFO did indicate that we needed people to drive the national programs within the provinces. Those are the people that we're talking about, that we have people who assist us. Like the issue of the CWP and other national programs. Those are people that will be there to assist us, also to provide hands-on support to the municipalities that are in distress. At this point in time, every time when there is a challenge, you have to fly from Pretoria and assist the provinces. Because provinces have got a specific responsibility to provide support. But unfortunately, when there is a challenge, people go to the national department and say, you see what has happened in Balfour, and yet there's a provincial department in the province. But what we have now is that we do have people who work closely, like in MLO, if I may give an example. When the problem started, we had to send our own people to drive the process and assist the communities as well as the province to address the problem. So you do have such people that will assist. Then the problem of the protest will be able to be addressed, because once we get information, we'll have that information nationally, but in the province also will be galvanized to participate in the due processes. It has not been easy in the past. In fact, people have been saying we are imposing ourselves in the provinces, and there's created problems. But this is what we're trying to now address in terms of making sure that we do have people on the ground who will work together with the provincial offices. But this is the process that we're dealing with in terms of the restructuring, to make sure that our footprint is everywhere. Where support is needed, you don't have to fly a person from Pretoria, but that person is there and is able to provide support. So that's what I wanted to raise, Chairman.
In other words, you're saying you're stepping up offices in the province.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just add one sentence to that last comment, and that is something we are still continuing to discuss with the NEC and different problems. So, that is our commitment, our intention. Chairperson, I was still busy with my list here. On the issue of funding, and again, I must apologize if we did not maybe provide follow up. Feedback to the committee, and then getting written feedback on some of these things. So I'm apologizing to say that after our previous that other engagement where we maybe did not give to written feedback. Now on this issue of monies that were not, I think the correct term was withheld, monies that were withheld to certain municipalities. I think this matter was a matter that was dealt with at the end of 2009, early 2010. That's where the unit was issued. Now, I don't have the figures with me, but I can give the kind of general, my understanding of how it was resolved. At that point in time, Treasury felt quite strongly that monies had to be withheld from particular municipalities because of poor expenditure. So in that particular financial year, we did not transfer the money. So I'm just saying, actually, we didn't transfer the money in that financial year when this became an issue. But what I can confirm to the committee, and this is where maybe we need to come back with facts and figures and the actual municipalities, my understanding, Chairperson, is that together with Treasury, we went to those municipalities, we worked closely with the provinces, and we resolved issues of capacity, issues of why those specific programs and projects were being blocked. I'm saying we actually resolved that. And then in the last financial year, Chairperson, my understanding is that we definitely then transferred all the money that we withheld. We subsequently transferred all of that money to the municipality. So in other words, no one has been disadvantaged from the perspective of that. We've taken it away from municipality X and given it to another municipality. The disadvantage came in where we withheld it for a particular period of time and the only paid in the following information. Yeah. So Chairperson, that is my understanding of how we've dealt with that. I must admit there's another question here which I'm not confident enough to answer and may have to come back to you on this, whether this entire process has been constitutional or not. And I know between us and Treasury there are slightly different views on this. But I know also Treasury, and I think they convinced us on this one, which we also use in terms of the MSMA and DORA and so on, we can definitely withhold money. That one is clear. Redirecting it to another municipality is a different issue. And that is where our view has not been supportive of that, but I think my colleagues can speak for themselves. So Chairperson, if you need us to come back to you on that difficult issue, we can talk to you on that one. Second last issue on the protest. Chairperson,
before we pass, I don't know whether you were answering one question or two questions. One question was saying, why was 80 million pounds withheld from the government? But the other question was, the redirecting the money that were rolled over that were applied for from other municipalities and redirected to other municipalities. Now, the response seems to be conflicting the two. I don't get to understand you exactly because at the beginning of the explanation you said there was a discussion I know in December 2009, 2010 to deal with it and you thought that it was dealt with, but now at the end you seem to be giving another response to something else. So let's deal one by one. You said the issue of the issue that National Child Protection was talking about, that with withholding the money, it was dealt with at that meeting and finalized. As far as we are concerned, 80 million rand was not supposed to have been withheld if it related to that. That's what you said.
Chairperson, I was only referring to one issue. I wasn't talking about this last amount. I wasn't referring to that at all. So the only money I was referring to was the 2009 issue, where there were a number of municipalities, and all I was saying is to put it in one sentence, the money that we withheld from all those municipalities subsequently was paid to all of those same municipalities in the following year. So that is the simple response. No, that is a different issue here. That's a different issue. I haven't responded to that. And we need to come back to you on that one when we can.
Okay, but on the other matter now of the municipalities that you applied for the rollover, was it in the last year's? It was not in the last year's adjustment, it was not a problem for that, am I right? Mm-hmm. I think it was something that we dealt with, was it in the last year's adjustment? I think it was 2009.
increase up to 2009-10.
Yeah.
So perhaps if that's the case, that's the answer that we get. That it was then paid in for the national connection.
Okay.
Yes, I just want to correct Chakasun. The air over everyone is not 18 million. It's actually 18.4 million.
I'm saying all of these to make the point that, from our analysis, I've not necessarily come across another explanation that says it is linked to the redirection of funds. Because that was one particular question. Is it possibly linked to the redirection of funds from either one municipality to another? I have certainly not come across that from Chair. So that was something on my response to that. Maybe let me just deal on Gora Mr. Khan's issue about the futuristic implication of financial takeovers. From a budgeting point of view, from an MTF point of view, Treasury has given us an allocation for the next 3 years, and we believe that is sufficient and appropriate for us to deal with the SPD and what we're taking over from the state of the Manji. So I'm not sure if I'm understanding the question, but I'm saying from our side, we know what we're going to get, and we will plan according to that, and that is consistent with our expectations. So there's nothing else we're expecting to be done from the side or from the blind side or something on the side. On the issue of agency, this is really my final comment. I wasn't sure because there were two issues in our discussion with Morden when the issue of agency came up. So one part of the discussion that came up in the context of the CWP, the Community Work Program, where my colleague explained we appointed 3 service providers and so on. So that was the one context, and I'm saying going forward we are looking at that whole situation. The second context within which this issue of agency came up was in the context of the STV, where I was saying that we are looking at the institutional form, and the one option that we are going to get our principals and cabinet to consider is establishing the STV as a government component. So, and again, I'm not sure if I'm answering, but that those is where I thought we would be down.
So, that's definitely on the earlier matter,
on the community work program.
On the community work program.
Okay.
Because you know that the parliament is very allergic to the use of consultants. We know that sometimes it's unavoidable, but where they are utilized, sort of resources don't go where they are intended. They ended up being taken up by the. You want to make a follow-up?
No, Chair, I think that of course, there are a lot of issues that have been raised, and we would probably have to take a time to chew on that. But the DG, the specific question that we asked, in fact, was a request that was going to be replied in form of writing, particularly on the withholding of money. Let's use the term that they use. The issue was, we don't know whether this lack of service delivery also got to do with the lack of service delivery without holding the money. But you see this protest all over. Could you give us the information about where you would have the money, what was the problem, which municipality have you done so? And of course, alongside of that would be whether there have been any protest, service delivery protests alongside or close to that same municipality. That was an information that was supposed to be finished to the committee in writing. Can we still get it? Or is it in the archives?
in a place where you can't get it anymore. Because I understand that it was resolved later with the engagement with the Treasury, but we still don't know that very question that we posed to you. So if you can be finished in writing, let's finish it in writing so that we can then monitor moving forward whether the issues with downside effects is subsiding or is it coming up in terms of other than, I know the protest issues, the basket of issues can be many things, but I think we still have to have that information that we've asked for before.
We can provide that to the yourself as the chief of the committee in writing. Yeah.
Just with regards to the issue of the service providers for CWP, I think I need to clarify a bit. Those are actually Section 21 companies, all three of them. So they are not normal consultants. And also they perform more of a project management function. It's more than a normal consultant to do is do some research, write up reports and so on. They actually manage some systems with regards to CWP. We're keeping, registers, ensuring that payments are correct, the payment systems and all of those things. So it's more than being normal consultants. Just for the sake of clarity, thank you.
So,
to another municipality. So where you find identify this significant problem and we understand that money will not be spent, we are able to send it where it can be spent and then correct it at the right time. Thank you. Sure.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mo. But, you're talking about what the Constitution says, what the law says. We agree with that, about the law says. But what we are saying is, what is the impact of that? You can remove money from Balfour because the officials didn't spend. The money was not really meant for the officials. It was meant for the community. That itself, any purpose to that community's money is relocated elsewhere. That is a fundamental question. That's why we say that this withholding and taking away because there is no capacity. The Constitution says national and provincial government must make capacity, must build capacity there. It puts the onus on the right to so just simple deciding that, okay, they are not spending, then this money is required elsewhere. It's not about those people who are supposed to spend, it's about the beneficiary. The intention was there, was clear when the money was allocated, that's the issue that we keep up with national treasury or whoever wants to withhold the money. Because you see, whether it's national treasury, whether it's whoever, people have a responsibility to assist the municipality. The Constitution is very clear on that. So that is the issue with PGA that this is what we say. For us, we're not really impressed by the policy because of the municipality. It's not about really those people who are in the offices. It's about those people who get bonuses, whether the money is transferred or not. I hope that issues of performance and monitoring will really also take that into account because the people must benefit with the issues that I mean members are raising are relocating. You can do that because the law says you can do that, but how does it help these people who are supposed to get a benefit? And we are in engagement with the office of the AG around this issue of section 43, shifting of funds and funds. Because we want to find a way with you and national treasury in terms of how we are the beneficiary, not the official, I'm talking about people in the office, people who are supposed to benefit. So I think that the other question, DJ, that you would like the question was raised around the underpinning on EPWP. We have indicated to Public Works that we need to sit down with yourselves, Public Works, and National Treasury and deal with the because both EPWP, that is a provincial and national, I mean a provincial and local level, is being understood. We have also said to National Treasury we need to engage on some of the grants you have mentioned, including the neighborhood development grants. But there are a few resources that have been under we can't afford that. We must have a discussion. So we had a meeting from them on the 3rd of September, and National Treasury has indicated that they are going to apply for a road over there. But if we can look at we will look at the history of the road over on those lands. How do they assist as well what was intended for them? The other question that we didn't raise, the way we also part of your responses we need, is the progress of the Lean 42. And I would like to hear the progress there. Maybe to be clearer, we get the annual
The other issue which is that we need to look at together is that issue of the 15% of, which according to our understanding is for the vocational for participants. Clearly it cannot be a transgression matter. It must be clear. Because it is go to education, it goes to the Department of Sport. Everyone says, no, there is a 15% in the MIT. We are not told that there is a 15%. I think the first time we hear that it is present, we will not, from our side, we will increase that it be ring-fenced specifically for any sports those areas that need to be. I'm summarizing now.
I gave you a chance to explain to us about this matter, and we want to help you that you cannot be something else, the key components that you explain, but to expect other things until the sports facility where they are. Of course, at the end of the day, in those communities, in their IDPs, who must identify where they want this sporting facility. Hoping that they will. What do you want to say?
No, I just wanted to confirm that I just got information that it has now been catered for into the dollars that was published on the 10th of May. So it is published in relation to what you just said. It is now reinforced for sports activity.
Well, we would be happy that if that is an issue, I'm sure ourselves would also just have to check with the. So I think that then, I'm sure we got some information. Maybe the one time, maybe you have agreed with the portfolio committee on the on moving the other man from the day to yourself, but I think that it would be useful one day to have a proper understanding of the because with the DFA, the world capacity, now if you're taking this over, we don't know whether that capacity will be there to do. And from what we heard about the objectives of the SPD last year, unless someone, in fact, did you think there's a document on the. We're finishing the last one.
He's finished.
I think that if there's a document on the SPD, I mean, from our side, you would be able to have a look at the document. Because at the time of the introduction of the FCD, there were concerns in terms of whether it was not going to encroach on the activities of other departments, it was not going to create tensions. But if there's a document that is ready, we'll appreciate it. And on that note, Honorable Member, thank you very much. And
to tell you what Honorable Ramatakana is practicing, there was a reason for all the one ways in Pretoria. It's so that the people who go work in the civil service and go home early don't get involved in accidents and those come over.
No.
Thank you very much.